We'll start with the corporate borrowing frenzy of September 2019. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Once upon a time, say a year ago, the benchmark 10-year interest rate in America was up near 3%. Now, with the ongoing trade war and U.S. central bankers thinking of lowering rates for a second time, U.S. bond yields have surged super low. This morning, the 10-year bond yield is at about 1.5%. You can borrow for practically nothing, something that has caught the attention of some big corporations. Marketplace's Justin Ho is here live.
Yeah, Apple revealed yesterday that it's issuing $7 billion worth of bonds. And, you know, it's not just Apple. Walt Disney, Coca-Cola, Caterpillar, United Airlines, 21 companies issued almost $30 billion in debt on Tuesday alone.
Hello, low interest rates.
Yeah, companies are borrowing just because it's a good time to borrow. You know, we've been reporting a lot lately about the rush of people trying to refinance their mortgages. This is kind of like that. Lower interest rates on government bonds means companies can borrow more cheaply, too. John Deere, you know, Deere & Company, the tractor maker, issued 30-year bonds paying 2.8%. That's a record low for that kind of debt. Interest rates are so low, companies can pay off older, more expensive debt early. And in Apple's case, it'll use the cash for share buybacks and dividends. It's said it will also be used for day-to-day operations, for buying stuff, maybe even potential acquisitions, though, you know, we'll see about that. Apple already has about $200 billion in cash and hasn't been buying many companies lately.
Already has that much cash and it's borrowing. Marketplace's Justin Ho, thank you very much. Let us do the numbers. The FTSE index in London is down 0.7%, but Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures here are all up. In the case of the S&P future, up 0.9%, Dow future up 1%. Worried about the appeal electronic cigarettes hold for young people, Michigan has become the first state to ban the sale of flavored vapes. They come in candy flavors, for instance. Earlier this year, San Francisco banned the sale of e-cigarettes altogether, Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson reports.
The bubblegum, candy, and fruit flavors that can tempt young people are already banned at the federal level for regular cigarettes. Michigan is doing the same for e-cigarettes. But there are two sides to the e-cigarette story, says Kenneth Warner, a longtime tobacco policy researcher.
My great concern with the rush to judgment on flavors and other policies on e-cigarettes is that they're so narrowly focused on the worry about the impacts on kids that they're ignoring this much larger population of existing adult smokers who could benefit from e-cigarettes.
He says e-cigarettes can help smokers quit or lower their risk of tobacco-related diseases. Von Race, the director of Harvard's Center for Global Tobacco Control, says many adults may not need fruity flavors to do that, but he thinks Michigan shouldn't have banned menthol e-cigarettes.
Continuing to allow menthol would have been a better alternative for the purpose of giving an option to the 40% of adult smokers who prefer mentholated products.
Vaping industry groups say the ban could create a black market for flavored products or hurt small businesses. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Nearly 60 million people work at sea around the world, freighters, fishing boats, and beyond. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Ian Urbina has spent years investigating what is a story of poachers, pirates, and human traffickers on the high seas. His new book is called The Outlaw Ocean. I wanted to know why it's such a free-for-all out there.
Largely because the oceans around the world are so vast and there are no police out there. These ships are constantly in motion, and they might be owned by one country and flagged to another country and captained by someone from a third country, and the fish is being offloaded in a fourth country. So even when everyone knows that ship might be breaking the law, it's not really clear who would do anything about it.
Working conditions on some boats, fishing boats in particular, can be awful slave labor sometimes. Many of the workers you write are trafficked, debt bonded. It sounds like something out of the 18th century, but still going on even now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the most shocking thing I found. Number one, the level of violence, you know, on the order of 50% of deckhands interviewed in some parts of the world have seen murder on ships. Also, debt bondage and slavery of other forms are really common. Most of these ships are worked by migrant workers who are sort of stuck there on board until their captain decides to let them go.
And that's, you know, people forced to work, but you also write about thousands of people essentially abandoned, stranded at sea, sometimes for years. How does that happen?
Fishing is a business with tight margins. And when the companies that own the ships go belly up, they declare bankruptcy and cut their losses and walk away. But there are guys on those boats. Some of these crews are stuck on the high seas or near a foreign land for upwards of a year, and they have no clean water, and they try to jump overboard and swim to shore. Some of them drown. Even when they get to shore, they don't have papers. So it gets very desperate.
I mean, maybe there are some technical solutions we could learn a bit from air travel. I mean, many, many airlines have transponders, and so air traffic control knows exactly what airplane is out there, usually. That's not the system that applies on the high seas.
Yeah, there is this really interesting contrast you find between airplanes and boats. I mean, they're both traveling through space that belongs to no one and everyone. And yet in the airline industry, there are strict rules about knowing everyone who's on board. Did they all get on? Did they all get off? What is it carrying? Where is it headed? Virtually none of those rules apply to vessels. And there's just been this long cultural resistance in the fishing community to that sort of oversight.
The book is called The Outlaw Ocean, Journeys Across the Last Untamed Frontier. Ian Urbina, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And the gold rush toward fake meat continues, given all the attention this summer to Impossible Burgers and Beyond Meat. The meat giant Hormel has announced its new brand to be called Happy Little Plants. Some may hear an echo there of the late PBS TV artist Bob Ross. And remember his happy little trees? Yeah, that's it. Kellogg's Morning Star is now going with, you ready for this? They'll call that stuff incognito. Incognito. Kind of a dad joke shaped like a hamburger patty. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.